KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with my co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're excited to bring you the latest announcement about Fresno State wrestling and women's water polo, as well as an interview with Fresno State head football coach Tim DeRuiter and assistant football coach Jordan Peterson. Before we go to that audio, I want to open the show with some basketball talk. Sports Report producer Kevin Kirsten is in the studio with me. Kevin, how you doing today?
Doing great, buddy.
Big game for the men's basketball team on Wednesday night. Home finale, 10,000 fans, biggest crowd we'd seen at the Save Mart Center for a while. Blackout, exactly. Had a lot of participation from the fans with that. A lot of NFL alumni there signing autographs. Really a great night to celebrate Fresno State sports, I think. But bigger than that, the Bulldogs got a huge win, beating Colorado State. They're now 21-9 on the season, heading into tonight's finale at Utah State. What do you think their chances are? You know, they're finishing hot here, coming down the stretch, heading into the Mount West tournament. How do you like their chances?
Yeah, that's the thing. They've been running hot recently. I mean, it was 7 of the last 8 games I think they won. And the home crowd's really been treated to some shows this season, as they've had the best, I think it's the best home record since Save Mart Center, since moving to Save Mart Center.
Yeah, 16 wins in the Save Mart Center this year, which is the most ever since the arena opened in 2003.
Yeah, and I mean, with Julian Lewis having his best game of the year Wednesday, with 30 points, you know, 6 for 7 from the three-point line, and Harris doing what Harris always does, and the rest of the team, it just seems like the seniors and the veterans are picking it up at the right time, and I think they had a really good shot going into the tournament.
You mentioned Marvell Harris. He's only 31 points now from being Fresno State's all-time leading scorer. He'll pass Melvin Eli, who was a lottery pick back in the early 2000s. You think he's going to do it against Utah State tonight, or is it going to take that first Mountain West tournament game?
I don't know. I think he might be able to do it. He's hot. I mean, he's been carrying everyone around. I mean, he's just playing really well right now, and I'm not sure if he's thinking about it, but I'm sure it's somewhere in the back of his head. You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty good accomplishment to have, you know, all-time score in the university's history. So, yeah, I mean, he has a good shot to do it, and the way he's playing now.
I think it's going to be a pretty exciting week. Next week, you know, the Mountain West tournament's in Las Vegas. Fresno State will open on Thursday, the men's team. The women, I believe, open Tuesday. And then championship Saturday, hopefully they're both playing in that. But I think Fresno State's got a realistic shot to put together a few wins and get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time in over a decade. How cool do you think that would be?
That would be outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, for Fresno State students, just to experience that March Madness with their own team.
Yeah, just to have the dogs in the dance. I mean, that would be a pretty cool thing to see. And it's just a thing of, you just have to get there, you know, and who knows what would happen. I mean, we might have this late season that we're having this surge, and it could carry over into the dance. And then who knows what could happen in the first, second round. You know what I mean? We could stay hot and make a deep run, hopefully.
Yeah, and you mentioned Julian Lewis. I mean, the other night he had 30 points, a career high as a senior. That's got to be cool for him in his last game at the Save Mart Center. He's really come on of late. You think he might be the key to the way he's playing right now, keeping this run going?
Yeah, because not all the pressure's on Harris. He knows he has a co-captain, you know what I mean? Like, he knows that he can depend on somebody else that has a hot hand right now. And they've been going on, you know, the last game they went on 2 runs, you know what I mean? They had a 17-2 run, a 9-0 run, you know, so they're both clicking, you know, they're capable of distancing themselves from whoever they're playing. So, yeah, I believe that's the key. If Lewis could stay hot and Harris is, you know, staying what he does best, and they had 20 fast break points, too, in that game. So they just keep running and keep moving. Yeah, I think that would be a big key in securing a victory or 2 or 3.
So let's hope for the more the merrier. But it's probably going to take 3 wins for the Dogs to get into the NCAA tournament. You know, they may have some other opportunities with the NIT or some of those if they don't get that 3 wins. But I think to make sure you're getting in the big dance, it's most definitely going to take 3 wins, even though the Bulldogs do have a great record this year at 21-9. It should be a fun week of basketball for the Dogs. And now let's go to the other big news this week. Fresno State officially announced the wrestling and water polo programs are coming to fruition. Jim Bartko held a press conference this week to make the announcement.
We're hearing there's a great announcement. Tell us what's coming.
That was exciting. It's been probably a year in the process, probably more than a year. I've been here a little over a year right now. And before I got here, I know President Castro made a commitment to look at wrestling and bring water polo back. And I was just kind of in the middle of trying to get over the hump. We've done a lot of research the last 6 to 9 months. We've got a great staff and community. We're excited today to officially announce we're bringing water polo and wrestling back. We're trying to process right now that both jobs are open You can go online right now and look at it. If anybody in this room wants to be the head coach, you're more than welcome to apply. But we're excited to do it. It's the right thing to do. When I first got here, people kept saying, add it right away. And I always looked at it with not a sprint, it's a marathon. We need to do it the right way. Make sure our current sports are taken care of. And make sure we have the funding in place to do it. So honored to be here right now. Looking forward to, you know, 3 months from now having coaches on board and athletes sign in November and then go forward.
The job's actually posted right now.
Yep.
But it looked a little while ago. I didn't see it. So.
Yep. I think, John, you can...
It should be within the hour. They're just waiting for two more approvals and accepting the process.
So by the time you leave, it'll be posted.
It'll be done.
In an instant social media world, what kind of reaction have you already gotten?
Honestly, since day one I got here, I probably had more tweets and texts on bring wrestling back than I have anything else. Water polo, the same thing. It's huge passion here in the Valley for those sports. Yeah, I've been getting texts from the USA Wrestling Committee and former wrestlers that have stepped forward. You know, we had to raise a lot of money. We had to raise about $1 million to get this thing done. Campus helped out with about a third of that. You know, we had to raise the rest. The Zinkin family, honestly, I want to take a few words right now to thank them. If it wasn't for their passion and their financial wherewithal to help get this back, I'm not sure we'd be here today. They never gave up over the years. I think it's been, what, 8-9 years since we've lost wrestling, maybe a little more. But they, as a family, and their commitment to that program has allowed both water polo and wrestling to come back. So I want to thank them very much, and many others. We have a committee on the wrestling side between John O'Brien, who wrestled here, and Nick Zinkin and John Creeves and a few others on the committee. But there's a passion for those sports in this valley. And for Fresno State not to have water polo and wrestling, not a good decision. But also having 21 sports makes it difficult. And we had to make sure we did the right way. We had to make sure we had the funding in place, facilities in place. We're working on conferences. They're not fully lined up yet. People think that's an easy thing to do. Pretty good feel for where we're going to be, but they don't announce those till summertime. But we'll get those done.
How did you determine what type of financial commitment you needed from the community to get this going?
Great question. When Dr. Castro, and I thank the Zinkins, but Dr. Castro, kudos to him for his passion, for his commitment, for his knowledge of the Valley, to be steadfast to bring back wrestling. I think if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today as athletic director, but I know wrestling wouldn't be here today, and either would water polo. We looked at, between our staff, Christina and John, who were both heading the committees for the two sports, looked at what the costs are for the next 3 years. I figured, get me through the first 3 years, and with scheduling of football and increasing fundraising, which we need to do, which is going to be our responsibility, if I can get our donors to get me through the first 3 years, years four through on, as long as the same donors help out a little bit, we'll be able to work that into our budget. So the donors stepped up. We looked at the budgets for the first 3 years. Again, first year is not as much. It's very little. Because really between now and June, you really only have the head coaches. And then next year, you really don't have anything but assistant coaches and a little bit of recruiting. The third year, you have some scholarships. So we looked at that and we thought, figured we knew kind of what our high end would be. About 900 some thousand for wrestling, about 500,000 for water polo for the first 3 years. So that was kind of the number we needed to raise.
And the first year of competition will be?
We'll hire a coach between now and May. Maybe early June. We'll sign kids. First week of November is signing day for both sports, and they'll be seniors, unless you have a few JC kids. Then they'll come here to school in August. A year from this August will be when they'll enroll, and then we'll compete when the season starts that year, so December. We've got about a year and a half before they'll compete.
If you don't mind, take a moment and honk the horn. It seems like every news clip that we're hearing, Bulldogs are doing great in every sport. I bet that's raised the bar nicely for these incoming sports to not just be here, but to do very well.
Well, I said that in my first press conference, and you know, and I'm so proud right now of our winter and spring sports. Obviously, football had a down year. We know that. Volleyball was a little down also. But you look at right now, tennis and baseball and softball and women's basketball are doing great. I think every sport we ought to compete, ought to graduate, have great kids, first and foremost. First and foremost, graduate, have great kids. But we should try to compete for championships. Not going to happen every year. Not going to happen every season, but you know what? Gosh darn it, we had to try. That's our goal. And our goal in these two sports, and that's why we waited a year. You know, we could have added these sports a year ago, but we need to make sure that our tennis courts are finished for our tennis team. Our track is being refinished right now, which needed to be done. You know, I came from Oregon, our track was huge. And when I walked out to the track right now, it was, to me, embarrassing. And through a lot of help of campus and others, that track is being refinished. And I wasn't going to add two sports and look at our other sports and say, you don't have a chance to compete because you don't have the facilities in order. So this last year, we tried our hardest. Kudos to a lot of people on our staff and a lot of people in the community that stepped forward to resurface the tennis courts and help with the track and the North Gym and others. And then just adding these two sports, you got to add locker rooms, you got to add offices, you got to, you know, add that wrestling room. And kudos to our campus also, because we had some people that are in those buildings where wrestling is going to be, that we had to sit down as a team. And it was an academic and athletic team. that looked at what's the best five-year plan for where everybody's going to go, what everybody's going to do. And it was very positive, and it shows you what can happen when people work together, have the same vision. So in a year from now, we'll move some people around the North Gym. We'll move some locker rooms around a little bit. We'll move the wrestling room back to where it was. The water pool is a little bit easier because we have the Red Aquatic Center already built, but some movement had to be there also. And you can't just do that by athletics coming in and saying, get out. We have to be together as academics also and do it in one vision. And the president and Lynette, our provost, we've all worked together. And that's what's taken the last 6 to 9 months. And it's not been easy. It's been very positive, and we're going to keep plugging away.
Plan to have the wrestling in the Save Mart Center?
Yeah. People keep saying, have the North Gym. Well, there's no bleachers, no restrooms, no concession stand. The Save Mart Center, the way I'm assuming right now, it would be very similar to what the volleyball setup would be on that half gym, set it up that way, and have about a 3,000-seat venue.
And with the momentum that you're getting from everyone that you hear from, what do you anticipate that first night when it actually finally comes back? And I know it's going to be a while, but
well,
what do you anticipate?
Again, it's been a while since I've been to wrestling. At Oregon, we had it for many years, and at Washington State, we had it. I went to the Clovis-Buchanan match a few weeks ago, and it was spectacular, just the whole atmosphere. I hope the people in this community will support Fresno State wrestling like they do the community. Hopefully, we can keep a lot of the athletes that are so positive here in the Valley. I know I've been getting calls from coaches all over the country over the last 6 to 9 months, interest. So I think interest will be high for both sports. I think our goal is to get the best we can to the coach. And the coach that we look at in both sports, this is very important. I want to kind of reiterate this a little bit. We don't need the best wrestler to be a coach. We need the best person to have a vision, to do it the right way, to understand the importance of academics, the importance of compliance, to understand the importance of building a program. Building a program from the start is not easy. Any coach you get, well, let's say when you start with a program from ground zero, is not simple. You can't just walk out and just say, here's 19 kids. I think there's 9.9 wrestling scholarships and 8 women's water polo scholarships. You can't just sign 9 kids in the first year and hope to gosh they win. You have to have a plan. And when we look at coaches in both of those sports in the next 3 or 4 months, we're going to look at what their plan is, what their vision is, how they build it. And it's not to win the first year. It's to win the next 15 years. And that's going to be important.
Are those two sports ones with all the high school talent locally in water polo and wrestling that you expect to be highly competitive when they get to that point?
I expect all of our sports to be highly competitive. I don't ever want to, from equestrian to women's basketball to golf to tennis, our women's tennis team is in the top 25. I mean, Fresno State tennis. Tennis is tough, and they're doing great. So men's basketball has a chance to win the Mountain West Tournament. I saw an article on the B yesterday about our goal right now is to win the dang tournament, and it is. So I don't think it's ever those two sports are the only two that can do it. I think every one of our coaches needs to have the expectation that we're going to win and compete. Nobody can win every year. The Dodgers don't win every year. The Raiders don't win every year. The Patriots didn't win this year. But our coaches need to hope that they win. And the athletes need to have the belief that, and we need to give them the resources. And that's why we've done a training table. We've done the cost of tuition. And our donors have stepped up immensely in the last 6 months. Unbelievable how our donors have stepped forward, helping out with the stadium project, cost of tuition, up on their Green V donations. And again, I think if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here talking today because you need money to do it. And the state's not going to keep giving you money to fund other programs. We need to do it ourselves. And our people here need to have the belief that we can win. Our job as a staff, as a senior staff, and as our people in this room right now believe that we've got to give that vision and give the inspiration, and hopefully they believe in us and let's do it together. And again, we have a great president and the first lady that believe that academics and athletics can rise together, and we're going to do it together.
That was Monday's press conference with Athletics Director Jim Bartko. Later in the week, we went out to Bulldog Stadium to catch some of the first week of spring camp with the football team, as well as get some time with Fresno State head coach Tim DeRuiter. Bear with us on the audio quality. It was a windy day and the mic was picking it up.
So first week of spring camp, how are you feeling about things so far?
I feel great. I think the first 2 days we've had great energy, great teaching from our new coaches and our old coaches. The kids are excited to get back at it. It's been 3 months since we've been out of practice. We sensed it last week when we started Red Dawn that there's just a totally different energy, a recommitment of our guys. They know last year wasn't acceptable, and they want to work their tails off to correct that.
With so many new coaches on the staff this year, was that a part of the process to get that coaching staff to gel?
Oh, absolutely. And we took our time in getting the right people. I was really impressed with the quality of candidates that wanted to come to Fresno State. Bringing Coach Ward in, he fit extremely well with our defensive coaches. He and I had clinicked together in the past, so we're on the same page as far as how we want to run a 3-4 defense and pressure people. And then offensively, we talked to a number of candidates and settled in on Coach Kesaw because he and I were seeing I mean, it's almost exactly eye to eye on not just, you know, the up-tempo style and the spread and multiple personnel, but just how we need to, you know, relate to our players and commit to our players. And I knew that he had some coaches that he had worked with in the past that were going to be committed to the same ideals. And I think our staff, you know, both sides of the ball have really come together and assimilated really well with each other. And I think that is reflected in our players.
We've heard a little bit about the offense and how there might be a little more of a tilt toward the running game this year. Talk about how that's going to factor in and what it's going to look like for fans.
Well, I think we're going to be much more multiple as far as personnel groupings. And having said that, we'll be in some more two tight end sets and possibly some two back sets. When you commit to running the football and not just having it as an offshoot of we're going to throw first and then if they take away the throw, run it, it just sends a different mentality to your players. I think it helps your entire program in that, you know, defense out here in the spring and in fall camp, they have to, you know, defend a real downhill running attack as opposed to more of an east-west style running attack. And I think as a program, you know, if you can establish the run, you can finish games. And when you do that, you can make it a little bit easier on quarterbacks that are maybe young in a system because play-action throws are much easier than throws when they know that you're throwing the football. So, you know, I think the fans will appreciate us being a little bit more of a balanced offense. But we're going to get back to the tempo, really stressing the tempo and making it simple for our guys to play fast because that's where we can get some explosive plays.
At the same time, you've lost basically all your experience at running back. How big – you've got some talented guys coming up, but how big was it to get Dontell James back here?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I think it was really big to get Dontell. You know, he had a little soul-searching journey for the last year. After he left about a month or two, he called back, you know, saying he made the biggest mistake of his life. He wanted to come back, and I just told him, you know, hey, that the timing wasn't right. And, you know, just keep working. We'll see what happens after the season. And he was just very, very consistent on wanting to be back and part of his football family. And, you know, I didn't want to bring a guy in that the rest of the locker room didn't feel good about and talked to some of our leaders on our team. And they, to a man, were really excited, you know, about Dontell coming back. But he couldn't just leave and come back. He, you know, we have a plan for him, how he's going to earn his way back. And he's well into that plan. And we're excited to have him because I think he's an outstanding young guy. Sometimes in your journey of life, you have some, you know, bumps in the road. He did, you know, maybe didn't handle it the best way. You know, I wish he would, you know, we would have communicated with each other a little bit better to help him through that. But he learned from it, and now he's going to, I think, be a heck of a Bulldog going forward.
Physically, I mean, he looks imposing out there on the field.
He does. He looks like an NFL running back. And the thing I really like about him, he's constantly got a smile on his face. He and DeJounte O'Neal are guys that you never see them have a bad day. I mean, they appreciate everything that they have, and they go attack it like you want as a coach.
I know when Dontell was here before, he had an injury history, you know, trouble staying healthy. Is that the key with him right now?
I think so. I think he's got all the tools to be, you know, a heck of a running back. You know, his Achilles heel has been, you know, the injuries. And sometimes guys that are, you know, that put together puts a lot of stresses and strains on joints and bones. You know, we'll knock on wood all the time to keep him healthy. He's got to prove to everybody that he can stay healthy. But if he stays healthy, I think he'll be one of the best backs in our conference.
And I know the Red Wave always wants to know who's going to play quarterback.
Well, that's going to be to be determined. We've got three competing right now. We'll bring another couple guys this summer. We'll see how it plays out. The neat thing when you bring in five new coaches on offense is you got new eyes, and everyone starts off the same. You know, someone has to be in the first huddle and the second huddle and third huddle, but every day you compete to earn reps. And the fact that our guys are going out there and they haven't slotted themselves mentally, they're just going out and competing.
Is it a little bit different than last year in spring camp when, you know, now you've got Chase and Virgil who started a couple of games, you've got Fort Childress who started, Kilton started several games?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, when you've got some guys with at least some experience, it definitely helps. You know, we played with a bunch of guys last fall that had never stepped foot on a Division I football field. So just having that experience, whether it's good or bad, you get through a lot of the butterflies, the anxiety of being out in a stadium, you know, for the first time. And then you start to see the speed of the game and you start understanding coverages and protections. All those things go into, you know, hopefully making a big leap this year for all those guys, you know, because our offense is going to go as well as our quarterbacks go, just like most people's offense. And, you know, I really like the improvement so far just in 2 days of camp here. And I can't wait till summer when we we've gone through spring, guys have gone through summer, because I know we're going to play it even faster.
At the same time, on the defensive side of the ball, what's it going to take this year to have the season you want to have?
Well, we got to get back to taking the ball away. We haven't done that since the first couple of years. We had 30-plus takeaways. You do that with guys playing with confidence and speed. And when you're playing with younger guys, sometimes they don't have that confidence yet. But we've got a bunch of guys who have played football games. Just like on offense, we've got some guys that played last year for the very first time. I think we had 50 guys on our roster that were, making their first, either starts or getting in games for the very first time. Well, the majority of those guys are back. And when you have that kind of experience to draw back on, now that anxiety, all that anxiousness, it's dissipated some. And now you can really focus on your technique and going out and competing. I think Coach Ward's doing a great job of having our guys, big picture-wise, understand. He's simplifying things and communicating in a great way of how our guys need to fit and how they need to compete every single rep and finish the little things, the detail of things, which I think we'll be much better at.
And then last thing, for fans who want to come out and see the team in spring practice, talk about how you can come out here.
Well, we're opening things up a little bit, for the first time. The quarterback club members can come to every single one of our practices. We just ask that they don't record anything out here, and put on the internet, pictures or anything, because we want to keep what's, proprietary until we play next fall. But every one of our fans are welcome to come out to our scrimmages. We'll have three of them starting with a week from Saturday, 2 weeks from Friday, and then our spring game will be on April 2nd.
And the spring game's free to attend?
I believe so. As far as I'm concerned, it is, but spring game should be free, and hopefully we'll have a bunch of people to see a brand new re-energized Bulldog team.
Great. Thanks for your time, Coach. Right.
That was Fresno State head football coach Tim DeRuiter from the field at Bulldog Stadium. Thanks again to the coach for his time. I also caught up with outside linebackers coach Jordan Peterson. Again, bear with us on the audio quality. The wind was an issue, but we cleaned it up as much as we could. Here's that interview.
So day two of spring camp, first week. Is it good to be back out here right now? Talk about just the morale of the team.
Yeah, I think everybody's got a little chip on their shoulder. Obviously, the season didn't go anywhere near what anybody thought it would or expected it would last year. And so I think everybody's been itching to get back out on the field and get better. I think, at least defensively, guys are playing with swagger. They're running around, flying around. We reduced the installation to make sure that we focus on the fundamentals and techniques. But there's been a lot of juice, in the first 2 days of spring ball, which is great to see. Now we'll see how it translates over when we put on the pads on Friday.
Obviously, Fresno State's not used to those types of seasons, especially since you guys have been here winning, two straight championships, winning a share of the conference, going to the championship game. But when you have a season like that at 3-9, is it good to get back out, get at it right away, and kind of put that out of your mind?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, nobody is ever expecting that thing, especially at a place like Fresno State. Nobody was more disappointed than we were. But, yeah, you're 100% right. Everybody wants to get out of here as soon as possible. If we could have started spring ball in January, we would have done it in January. It's a great opportunity for our guys to get back, to kind of get the rust off and try to get that stuff behind us and learn from that and know what we got to get better at. At the end of the day, there's a lot of things that we got to get better at to be where we want to be. So.
And you're coaching outside linebackers this year?
Correct.
Talk about who you've got back and who you're looking to, leaning on right now.
We got a good core group of guys back. There's no starters right now. We got Coach Ward as a new defensive coordinator. Everybody's starting from square one. We only lost one guy that played significant snaps for us last year, and that was Dro. Coming back, got James Bailey playing primarily Sam linebacker for us. You have Brandon Hughes and Tobin Okeke. Tobin is more of a joker, a boundary guy, and B. Hughes can kind of bounce back and forth. And those guys, all three of those guys got significant playing time last year. Justin Green's back again. He plays a little bit more Sam this spring, but he has the ability to swing back and forth and be a pass rush guy for us. And then Stephen Van Hook, all those guys have got meaningful reps last year for us. So we feel good about the experience we have coming back. Do we need to get better? Absolutely. The guys have a general good grasp of concepts and knowing the scheme of things, but we just got to be more consistent across the board.
You feel like you have a pretty versatile group right now? I mean, it seems like you have a lot of guys that fit in certain roles, certain pieces. How do you feel about, sort of where you're at with the roster right now?
This is the best as far as spring that we've had, guys available and guys able to play. Across the board, we feel pretty good about our talent level right now, and we're going to have two freshmen coming in the fall or in the summer. So we feel really good about our depth right now at the position. We just got to figure out who's gonna win the spots and what exact role they're going to have on the team. And at the end of the day, none of that's going to be decided until the back end of fall camp. So there's a lot of work to be done.
How much are you going to miss Edro Adirane?
Well, you know, I think as a group, we're all going to miss him. You know, obviously, he was a leader for us, great team guy. So, you know, everybody misses him. At the end of the day, it's time for the next guy to step up, and he'll come back. He'll be here for Pro Day. He'll come back and watch some games and stuff. So we'll welcome him back with open arms.
You guys have that role filled as far as the vocal leader. Who's next up?
Well, you know, we have a lot of guys that can be that guy, but you know, specifically in the outside linebacker room, we talk about it day one. Say, hey, look, if you're not doing it and you're not leading by example, then shut up, right? You can't say one thing and do another. So first thing you got to do is prove to everybody and build your resume that you're going to do it. You're going to be an everyday guy. And then once that happens, now you have the respect of everybody else, and now you can be the vocal leader, right? Now, the first couple of days, I think everybody had a little bit of juice, a little bit of, you know, excitement. And so that's easy again the first couple of days because it's brand new. But we'll see when you get days 3, 4, and 5.
Now, obviously, you've coached the secondary here as well during your tenure. What's the strength of the defense right now?
Well, you know, it's still yet to be seen, I think. You know, I think, you know, I would like to think that our linebacking core, and outside linebackers and inside linebackers is a pretty good core group of guys. But, you know, we have some depth here that we've never had. So that's a great point of the defense is I think that we have the ability to go next guy up a little bit more than we have in the past. You know, we got to keep guys healthy. And I think at the end of the day, the swagger that Coach Ward brings to the table as defensive coordinator, we're going to be playing a lot faster. We're going to be rolling. I think the attitude. The first day, he literally talked to the defense for, you know, about 5 minutes. And the core of his message was, hey, look, at the end of the day, control what you can control, attitude and effort. And that's going to be the theme of the entire defense.
What feels the most different now with Lorenzo Ward as the defensive coordinator since he's been here a short time, but what's the most noticeable change?
Well, you know, anytime that you have a different voice leading a unit, it's always going to be a little bit, you know, the players are still trying to fill it out, and so guys are always trying to make sure they do everything exactly right all the time, which is perfect. You know, guys can never get complacent, and like anytime there's change, guys, you know, kind of have to snap back and realize that you don't just win championships, you don't just show up and win. You know, it's time that you got to get back to work, you got to earn it. You know, and that's always going to be the challenge whenever you have success 3 years in a row, or, you know, 2 years in a row, and then have a decent year the year after that. Guys not getting complacent. You know, so even though the season was terrible last year in our eyes, you know, it's play with a little chip on your shoulder, realize that you got to get back to work and you got to grind away to get back in that spot that you want to get to.
As a coaching staff, has it taken you guys a while to gel? Was that a process that had to happen in the early stages?
You know, not really. You know, I think, you know, a lot of these guys have some familiarity with Fresno State, either coached here or played here, coached against Fresno State. So I think that the guys know what Fresno State's all about. You know, a lot of our interaction early on was finalizing our recruiting class. So we would, you know, meet up with each other on the road, you know, coordinate with our top guys. And so, but it didn't take long at all. You know, at the end of the day, we're all, you know, Bulldog born, Bulldog bred.
Then who do you have coming in the fall that you're excited about?
Well, we have two outside linebackers, Andrew Wright, who's from Buena Park down south, and then Lucas McKenzie from Reno High. We're excited about getting those guys here in June and seeing what they can do. You know, obviously, there's always opportunities for young guys to compete for certain jobs. That's what I tell them. Hey, look, when I recruit a guy, I never recruit a guy to redshirt. I expect you to come in, compete your butt off. If you win the starting job, they're playing you, right? And we expect those guys to compete pretty well. They're built decently. They're physically mature for their age right now. And you know, they're definitely obviously going to compete for special team spots too.
Awesome. Thanks for your time and great luck this year.
That was Fresno State assistant football coach Jordan Peterson from Bulldog Stadium at spring camp. Thanks to Coach Peterson for his time.
Thanks again to Fresno State head football coach Tim DeRuiter, assistant coach Jordan Peterson, and Fresno State director of athletics Jim Bartko for their time this week.
Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.